The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
If you're just jumping on here on live on Facebook and on YouTube and thus on podcast as well, we welcome you to the broadcast. Today I want to be discussing the roadmap to the covenant of many, how the series of peace accords is paving the way for the fulfillment of prophecy. Now, I want to say something right up front, and that is I believe that the majority of you is already assuming that I'm going to go in a certain direction based on the title alone. Though I'm going to touch on that briefly, that's really not where I want to home in. I really want to pull out some stuff out of some scripture that just really comes alive to me. Again, we welcome everybody to our prophetic viewpoint today. If you're just joining us, again, I'm Ricky Sprell, the pastor, the founder, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We welcome everybody from whatever platform you're joining us today, whether it be podcast, YouTube, or Facebook. Today, we're going to be discussing the roadmap to the covenant of many, how the series of peace accords is paving the way for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And I do want to say right up front that please do not, last time we did this about a month ago when these peace accords was first announced and they were going to be initiated, and we did an update on this. We had many people that would comment under the Facebook Live section, different comments saying, well, prophecy teacher so-and-so doesn't agree with you, or they say it's this, or they say this is a good thing, or they say this is a bad thing. Look, here's the bottom line, guys. That's the beauty of what we do. Everybody's going to have a difference of opinion. There's different theological views, and we welcome all of those. That's why we do what we do, and then you guys be the good Bereans. If you don't understand that term, you can find it in the book of Acts. You study the scriptures and you decide for yourself. So I myself am not trying to echo what someone else that deals with Bible prophecy is saying or whatever. I go into the scripture and I pull out what the Holy Spirit shows me. So again, I want to preface that right off the top here today, that what you're about to hear may not align with what you want to hear or what your favorite prophecy teacher says, and that's okay. Because again, that's the beauty of dealing what we do. There's different views, different theological views, different angles, difference of opinions, okay? So the deal is now sealed at the White House on yesterday. The United Arab Emirates and Bahrain signed a groundbreaking peace treaty with the nation of Israel. President Donald Trump brokered the deal, and he predicts that more Arab countries will soon join the, quote, circle of peace. That's what they're calling this, the circle of peace. Very interesting. It's interesting to note that this accord was also signed during the season of Teshuvah on the Hebrew calendar. For you guys that may not understand that, we're in a season on the Hebrew calendar, which is a season of repentance, restoration, reconciliation, a time to turn back to God. It's a time when many people would write letters to forgive individuals that may have done them wrong or may said ill against them, or they just try to make it right with other individuals. So I think it's very intriguing to me, at least, that it just so happens that this peace accord was just signed during this very season. And the president of the United States is expecting more Arab states to follow suit. In fact, different sources claim that 7 to 9 more additional Arab states could be in the making of signing peace agreements with the nation of Israel in the near future, including Saudi Arabia. This was announced Tuesday during a White House ceremony. Trump and other leaders herald this peace accord as a, quote, new dawn for peace in the Middle East. Trump also said that he spoke with the king of Saudi Arabia and expects the country to join the agreement at the right time. I love these phrases because they have prophetic implications. Quote, we are here, this again, this was from yesterday. We are here this afternoon to change the course of history, according to President Trump. The historic peace deal was dubbed the, quote, Abraham Accord, and it establishes full diplomatic ties between the key allies of the United States, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain, which will all establish embassies, exchange ambassadors, and begin to cooperate and work together so strongly, according to President Donald Trump. Quote, this is the beginning of a new era of peace for Israel and the wider Arab world, and it's very humbling for me to be a small part of it. This was from Vice President Mike Pence. Now, the treaty that was just signed, I want to dig a little bit deeper in this. The treaty that was just signed commits Israel to a, quote, negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What does that mean? It means that it paves the way for the progression of the creation of a Palestinian state. Let me say that again. This negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict means that is a progressive advancement towards the creation of a Palestinian state. One blogger said, quote, very few are talking about the deeper implications of this agreement. Instead, everyone is just talking about how excited they are that peace has been achieved. Now, I got a problem with this, and I'm going to show you some stuff here in a minute. In fact, according to the Jerusalem Post, which is an affiliate out of Israel, the document specifically requires Israel to work towards a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that meets the legitimate needs and aspirations of both peoples, meaning Israel and Palestine. The Treaty of Peace, diplomatic relations, and full normalization between the UAE and the State of Israel recalls the ceremony in the White House in January in which U.S. President Donald Trump presented his peace plan and commits the sides to the treaty to continuing their efforts to achieve a just, comprehensive, realistic, and enduring solution to the, quote, Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This also commits Israel to working together with Palestine to realize a negotiated solution to this conflict that meets the legitimate needs and aspirations of both peoples. Again, we're just reiterating this a little bit. To advance comprehensive Middle East peace, stability, and prosperity in the region. Now, here's what we need to say here. The Palestinians... will simply not accept anything that is short of a formal Palestinian state as a, quote, negotiated solution. This is why they've been so opposed to it. This is why these rockets keep getting fired. This is why there's so much tension. There's so much uprising. And many conservatives in Israel are wondering why in the world would Benjamin Netanyahu possibly even agree to this if he knows this. One of the top officials from the UAE, listen to this, you got to hear this, made it abundantly clear that he believed that a commitment to move towards a Palestinian state was part of the agreement that he was signing. Did you hear that? I want to say this again, that one of the top officials that was there yesterday signing this peace accord 100% believes that by the signing of this is a commitment to move or advance towards a Palestinian state or the creation of a Palestinian state. A Palestinian state has been referenced in the U.S. brokered Abraham Accord signed between Israel and the UAE on Tuesday, said Anwar Gargash, the UAE Minister of the State of Foreign Affairs. He even professed this. Under extreme pressure, Benjamin Netanyahu from the Israeli right wing, there's continual pressure again to Netanyahu who would not do anything that would commit recognition of a Palestinian state. But according to, again, the UA Minister of State for Foreign Affairs, he clarified that the document briefly mentions a two-state resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, although the document deals largely with the bilateral relations between Israel and the UAE. Now, I want to give you, I love this. This was a great analysis from Michael Snyder in this blog, and I want to read this quote from you. This is, we actually posted this on NTAP Headlines. Quote, listen to this. If Israel is willing to go this far just to achieve peace with the UAE and Bahrain, what would they be willing to do for a comprehensive peace agreement that would include Saudi Arabia and other major powers in the region? What would Israel be willing to do, to give up, to achieve comprehensive peace? That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Now, in Daniel 9:27, remember I told you, the title of this is The Roadmap to the Covenant of Many. What does that mean? That's the Daniel 9:27 passage that I believe every one of you thought that we were going to spend most of our time hanging our hat on today, which I'm going to talk about that right now. But that's, I don't really want to hang out there. I want to go somewhere else. But nevertheless, I believe a series, not a peace treaty, a series, plural tense, multiple. I believe there's coming a series of peace accords, and these are all paving the way for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, of course, we want to get into this. Daniel 9:27. I'm going to read this not from the King James or the New King James. I know some people's going to get mad at me. If you ain't got mad at me all day, you'll get mad at me right here. But I'm going to read from the Good News Translation because I just like the way it words it. This is Daniel 9:27. And it's speaking of the Antichrist who is to come. Listen to this, Daniel 9:27, the GNT translation. That ruler will have a firm agreement with many people. Some translations say many nations, not one nation, many, plural tense. Did you know the UAE makes up, I think, six of itself? It says the ruler will make a firm agreement with many people or nations for 7 years. And when half this time has passed, or in the middle of the 7 years, the Antichrist will put an end to sacrifices and offerings. And it says, and then, again, this is the translation I'm reading, the awful horror will be placed on the highest point of the temple. This is talking about the image of the beast will be placed on the highest point of the temple and will remain there until the one who put it there meets the end which God has prepared for him. So again, we know ultimately this is leading up to this final agreement that will be made with many nations for a set period of 7 years. And this agreement will be signed by the Antichrist. That's Daniel 9:27. So while you're meditating on that and you're chewing on that, let me get to where I really wanted to go with this today. Okay. And that is, and I'm gonna, and I've got scripture for this. So we're gonna pull up some passages here for, so just bear with me for just a second while I pull this up. I know you guys on podcast can't see this. You guys following along on YouTube and Facebook can. I'm going to pull these scriptures up because I definitely want you to follow along with me today on where I'm going. And again, I understand. I'm telling you, I will get the emails. I'll get the Facebook messengers, all this stuff, and say, oh, well, brother so-and-so, who's got a large ministry out there on prophecy, said this is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. Well, listen, again, there's going to be differences of opinions, guys. And I'm giving you this one angle of what I feel like the Holy Spirit is showing me. I can't, when I study these scriptures, guys, I can't ignore these things. This is Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. By the way, the backdrop of this is dealing with the coming of the Lord. He tells them there's going to be certain signs of the coming of the Lord. There's going to be certain events that's going to precede the coming of the Lord. There's going to be certain events that's going to precede the revealing of the Antichrist. There's going to be certain events and things that are going to take place that you need to be paying attention to, take note of, because when they start taking place, you're going to know that further advancement of prophecy is going to begin to unfold. And so that is the premise of where I'm going with this. Listen to this. Paul told the church of Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, why did he tell them? Notice he uses some terms here concerning times and seasons. That is a prophetic, that's prophetic language, because Jesus mentions times and seasons in Matthew 24. He mentions it in Luke 21. He briefly talks about it in Mark 13. Which all deal with Bible prophecy, times and seasons. Even in Book of Acts, chapter 1, it talks about this. Will you at this time restore the kingdom? It has not been, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. He talks about that in Acts chapter 1. Now, what's he saying there? That we shouldn't study the times and seasons? No, he's talking about that we Our main focus should be evangelism, winning souls, winning the lost, going into the lost house of the sheep of Israel, dealing with them, going out to the highways and byways, compelling them to come into the Lord. Because if you read in the book of Acts, right after that, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? So they can be a witness in all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he wasn't rebuking them for knowing. If he was rebuking them for trying to discern the times and seasons, he would have not said what he said in the Gospels when he told the Pharisees, you hypocrites, you can discern the sky and know when a storm's coming, but you don't have understanding of the times and seasons in which we're in. Hello, Jesus ain't going to contradict himself. So Paul is using prophetic language here. By the way, this is a group of Jews that he's speaking to here. He's speaking to the church here, not to the unbelievers. He says, concerning the times and seasons, my brethren and sisters, the church, the ecclesia, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know that perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief of the night. Now, why do you say that you know this perfectly? Because it was already covered in letters that was previously written. Read it. It's in Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24. For the day and hour, no man knows. If the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come and broken into the house, he would have prepared himself. But be watchful and be ready, for you know not the hour that the Son of Man is coming. So Paul is saying, you perfectly know, you know very well that the Lord's coming like a thief of the night. But listen, he gives us a clue. And you say, why are you getting so expressive and loud? Because it's excitement. This is exciting. Guys, this is not gloom and doom and despair and depressing. This is exciting news. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Listen, this is one of the biggest clues that I'm seeing a lot of prophecy teachers just skip right over. They're ignoring it. And I can't ignore this. Paul said, I'm going to give you a clue. Yes, the Lord's coming like a thief in the night. Yes, we're not going to know the day or the hour, but we're going to know the times and seasons. And this is what he says. For when they, I'm going to have you repeat some stuff. Say they. I want everybody to say they. It didn't say when he says or when I say, it says, when they, plural tense, when they say peace and safety. Why am I emphasizing they? Because again, it points to multiple individuals, multiple nations. multiple peoples, when they come into agreement, when they come into unison and begin to say, listen what they're saying, peace and safety. Let me read some of Trump's own words again. He says, more Arab countries will soon join the circle of peace. He says, this is the beginning of a new era of peace for Israel. And other nations talked about peace and safety. Are you hearing me today? That's what we're talking about today. A major clue has just been dropped on the body of Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Most Christians are slumbered. They are asleep. They're apathetic to the prophetic, to eschatology, to end times. Why? Because their churches are not teaching this. Their pastors are not teaching this. They're not being preached this. So they have no clue. But Paul says, when they say peace and safety, now listen what follows it. Then, the then follows the peace and safety. When you start hearing them say peace and safety, listen to this. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. There's the them again. Notice it said they and them. So it's my belief. It's my belief that the they and them are the same in this context. And I believe more than ever, I believe it very well could deal with nations. And I'm gonna show you why I believe that. For when the nations begin to say peace and safety, the nations that are involved in this collaboration of peace and safety, and I'm gonna show you how they're gonna do it in just a second. It says, but as they do this, when they begin to say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Oh, and he gives you another clue, guys, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they, three references, they, them, and they, them, and they, all three are the same. And I believe, again, it's dealing with nations. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them as upon labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Again, more prophetic language. You can find that in Luke 21. He talks about sorrows, the beginning of sorrows, birth pains of the Messiah. They shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. Now, I'm going to put a bookmark there. And I'm going to show you something else. Let's pull up some more scripture here. Look at this. Y'all have heard of Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's Gog and Magog. That's the prophetic war that's coming. Ezekiel 38 and 39. By the way, Turkey, Russia, and Iran, all these are involved in that war. And by the way, there's an alliance that's forming with these three nations that's coming in the future. That's Ezekiel 38, 39. But look what Ezekiel 36 says. This is the chapters before Ezekiel 38. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you. Now, who's the you? Israel. Aha! The ancient heights have become our possession. What are the ancient heights? It's the Golan Heights. It's the West Bank. It's that whole area that they're fighting over in the Middle East. Listen what it says. The enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. In other words, this is where all the focal point's going to be, guys. It's the fight for the fighting for a Palestinian state. The ancient have become our possession. I'm going to read this. This is not going to be up on the screen, so you're just going to have to listen to me. I didn't put all the scripture. I'm going to read verse 3. This is in Ezekiel 36, 2 on. Therefore, prophesy and says, thus says the Lord, because they, there it is again, they made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations. Did you hear that? In other words, remember Zechariah chapter 12 said that Israel is going to become the burdensome stone that would try to be heaved away. And it would be a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding nations. I didn't put this down, but I should have put that up, or that's Zechariah 12. Listen, he says, Israel, you have become the possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of talkers and slandered by people. Wow. This is Ezekiel 36. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate waste, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. Therefore, says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholeheartedly joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. In other words, there was ulterior motives to peace and safety. Israel, we want peace with you. We'll give you peace. Bring down your walls. You can dwell in safety. Yeah. And I'm about to show you what happens. Note, again, this is in Ezekiel 36. It's a prophecy that the nations would lie and they would slander on Israel, and they would try to convince Israel to, quote unquote, capitulate for peace. In other words, lower your guards for peace. But all the while they have conspired evil in their hearts, and that is to plunder Israel. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, and the valleys, thus says the Lord, behold, I've spoken in my jealousy, my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. Now, there is a scripture I want to pull up right here. Listen how all these puzzle pieces come together. Now let's read Joel chapter 3. I'm going to wait just a second. Joel chapter 3. I know, again, guys, you guys on podcast, I know you can't see this, but bear with me. Listen what Joel said. There's a lot of things I have bold and put in bold here up on your screen. There's a reason for this. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. So it mentions there's this precise location that this will take place in Israel. And I will enter into judgment with them. Now look, Joel chapter 3 tells you who's the them. Remember I told you over there in 1 Thessalonians 5, I said that there was they. What did I say? They, them, and they. And I said it has to deal with nations. And I based that upon this passage and the one I just read to you. I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there. Now, we know right here, I'm going to break this down. Now, here's the teacher of me coming out. So we have all nations. God is going to bring them supernaturally. He'll put it into their hearts, just like he's going to pull 10 nations that will align themselves with the Antichrist. You can find that in Revelation. The Bible says that God puts it in their hearts to do that. So all nations will be brought down to this precise location by the Lord, and they will be brought into judgment. And then the latter part of this passage of Joel 3 tells you why they're entering into judgment. On account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they, again, all nations, have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Now, there's two things here. We always think, oh, now all the nations are going to be judged because they divided Israel. Well, that's one part of it, but you missed the former part. That was the latter part. Let's go back up to the former. Listen, it says, they will enter into judgment because of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. You know what that is? That's persecution. That's anti-Semitism. Guys, as we get closer to the end times, to the fulfillment of all things. I believe just like we had when there was the Holocaust and there was the, I'm talking about as far back as Nazism, Hitler, Stalin, and there was this hatred and animosity against the Jews. I believe it's going, that thing is going to resurrect itself again on steroids, and there's not going to be a Stalin or a Hitler that's going to, it's going to lead this thing. It's going to be a man that the Bible calls the Antichrist, and he is going to unleash all hell against the Jewish people and Israel. And listen, it says they, this persecution will come upon Jews around the world, and it will cause them to be scattered among the nations. So bloodshed, division, them being persecuted. Even in the book of John, it says the time will come when they will kill you and they will say that they're doing God's work. Read it. It's in the book of John. But it also says they have also been a part in dividing my land, nations. Why do you think, guys, listen to me. Why do you think there is a judgment upon nations in Matthew chapter 25? All this fits together, my friend, every bit of it. It's the whole Bible. It's interesting to note that Joel Rosenberg, who is a prophetic author and speaker, recently come out and said that the events that we're seeing now unfolding is prophetic. It's historic. Quote, it's exciting. And it's personal for me, is what Joel Rosenberg said. Quote, he said, I've had two sons serve in the Israeli military and I want them to have peace. However, he went on and he told CBN News that, quote, what we see in the book of Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, which is known as the eschatological future war of Gog and Magog, is the, quote, Arab states being very calm and quiet towards the nation of Israel. Do you hear that? Oh, we want peace. We want safety. Israel is reconstructed, peaceful, prosperous, calm, secure. And then Rosenberg points out, and I 100% agree with what Rosenberg's saying here. He says, then a Russian-Iranian-Turkish alliance will form an alliance, and will invade the nation of Israel. Thus, he is talking about what I want to show you right here. And I'm going to pull that up on the screen. And there is some things that we've got to look at in Ezekiel 38. Keep all this in mind. And I want to show you something in Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. When you read the chapter, the first chapter of Ezekiel 38, there is major points that we cannot overlook about the conditions of Israel that has to be met in order for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to be fulfilled. By the way, it says that God puts a hook in the jaws of these nations and brings them down to invade the nation of Israel. Why would God do that? Because prophecy has to be fulfilled. Listen to this. It said, when you read Ezekiel 38, it says Israel has to be brought back from the sword. Well, guess what? That happened. They were brought back from the point of annihilation, of millions of Jews being thrown and going through the Holocaust. And many say that Ezekiel 37, the bones, the dry bones coming back to life, was a prophetic picture of Israel being resurrected. Number two, they would have to be gathered and brought back from many nations. Guess what? That's being fulfilled. And that's being fulfilled, and it's happened for many years now. But then we get into this other part. It says that Israel will be dwelling in safety. Well, that's not happened yet. And it gets a little bit more in detail. It says that Israel will be a land of unwalled villages. It will be a land that's dwelling in safety without walls, with neither bars or gates. Guys, that's not happened. We're not there. There's still walls, bars, and gates in Israel right now because of the continual attacks on them persistently. So again, don't miss it. Something, I believe, when they shall say peace and safety. So where are we at prophetically? We are now entering into the peace and safety. there is going to be a series of peace accords that's going to convince Israel to get into this place where we can see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Something has got to convince Israel to let down their guard, being a city of unwalled villages, no bars, no gates, a place of safety, a place of peace. But there's more, guys, and I want to pull this up. Look at this. Let's look at this whole passage. I want to go to Ezekiel 38, 12, 13, and 14. 15 and 16. Look at this. I hope this will all fit up on your screen. If not, you can just listen. It says that these nations that come down and to invade Israel, listen, verse 12, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. By the way, that's already happened. Israel has blossomed again. Israel is producing agriculture. Israel is well-watered again. This was something that wasn't in biblical times. They were laid desolate. I told you all that. And then Isaiah talks about this. Jeremiah talks about this. They says prophetically, Israel will blossom again. They will flourish again. They will fill the world again. And consequently, in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 12, it says that when this prophetic war takes place, Israel will be well inhabited. It will have livestock, goods. It will be blessed. And these nations will come down to try to plunder the nation of Israel. So something has got to set the stage for this. Look at this. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions will say to you, have you come to take plunder? There's great controversy who Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish are, and the young lions. I've heard everything from parts of Europe to Saudi Arabia, Jordan to the United Kingdom. Some even try to put America in there. But nevertheless, there's a collaboration of nations here that will not be a part of this, but they will stand afar off and they will look and they'll say, quote, have you come to take plunder? In other words, have you invaded Israel to take up their gold, take up their silver, take up their resources, take their oil, whatever the case may be? Listen, have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, their livestock, their goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel, listen to this, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Whoa, that's huge. Will you not know it? Guys, we won't be questioning this. We won't be saying, oh, I wonder if this has been fulfilled. I wonder if this is being fulfilled. We will not, listen, we will all know when Israel is dwelling in a place of safety. When you're watching television and you start seeing, listen, and depending on your theology, the church may or may not be here to see this happen, depending on where you stand with your theology on whether there's a rapture or not a rapture, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever the case may be. But nevertheless, there's going to be a group of individuals here that's going to be remaining. And who that is, that's up to you. But some group is going to start seeing this on the news. It's going to be aired. There's going to be a series of covenants. And then you're going to hear about this Daniel 9:27 covenant. It's going to be a peace agreement for 7 years. And it's going to involve many nations. And then the whole world, if you think they're saying peace and safety now, we ain't seen nothing yet. It talks about they will drop their swords. They will drop their weapons. The walled cities will go down. The bars will come down. The gates will go down. The prophet Ezekiel says, will you not know it? And he says, and then the Lord says, then you, who? The collaboration of nations, Turkey, Iran, Israel, and many others. The parts of Russia will come. Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company, and a mighty army. You will come against my people, Israel, like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days. There's another clue. You want another prophetic clue? The term latter days, end days, time of the end. Those are all go hand in hand. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations of the world, so that the nations will be gathered together. And thus, God, in the Bible, listen to this, guys. Let me pull this away. The Bible says that God himself will rise out of his place and fight for Israel himself. And this is all coming down the road. Now, I know this has been a lot to take in. So please go back, take notes, watch it again if you've got to. But listen, I want to leave you with one last thing, and I want to go back to, I went up here to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 3. I want to go back there. I'm going to read you the rest of this. Listen what Paul the Apostle said to the church of Thessalonica. My friends, I want you to get this driven into your mind, into your heart, into your spirit. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Listen, I'm going to say it again from a modern understanding. But you who are born again, blood bought, name in the Lamb's Book of Life, serving the Lord. But you, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Come on, somebody. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Here's the point I'm trying to make here. This is where I want to close with this prophetic viewpoint today. Yes, he says, yes, don't miss what the Apostle Paul said. He said, when you start seeing the words peace and safety being uttered from the lips of the nation's leaders, you'll know that sudden destruction is on its way. Sudden destruction is about to come. Prophecy is about to be fulfilled. But let me give you some good news on it. That means that the Lord is about to come out of his place. That means that the Lord is about to return. That means the Lord is about to split the eastern sky. That means the trumpet is about to sound. But listen, all that is good and all that is great news, but it's not good and it's not great if you're on the wrong side of the tracks, if you're walking in darkness and you are not of the light and you're not of the day, then this day is going to come upon you unexpectedly. But Paul said it is time to rise up. It is time to be sober. It's time to put on the breastplate of faith, put it on love, and put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. If there's anybody watching by YouTube, watching by Facebook, or listening by podcast today, and the things in which this old Kentucky boy is speaking to you today may have stirred you up, stirred up your heart. Maybe that you can feel the fear of God on your heart today. Maybe maybe you already had the seed of the word in your heart. And you know these things, and now you're beginning to see these things coming to pass, and you know that the day of salvation is more at hand today than it ever has before. Listen, my friends, I don't know what you're putting off for. I don't know what you're waiting on. Listen, you can't clean yourself up enough to get into the presence of God. Our righteousness are as his filthy rags. There's not a thing you can do to earn your salvation. It's a free gift that's been given to us, and it was given to us 2,000 years ago on the cross by Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the opportunity today to accept that free gift of salvation. And it's simple. All you got to do is repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Ask the Lord Jesus to come and live in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Lead you, guide you, and continually speak to you through the Bible, his living word. And I want you, listen, if you've got an opportunity to be a part of a local church that you can get plugged in, that you can be around a gathering of believers that believe in the whole Bible, the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the gifts, there's good fellowship there. Please be a part of that. Get plugged into that. And don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together with the matter of some, even more so as you see the day approaches. That was a warning from the Lord. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you to be a part of our online community. You can find us again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, that's going to be our main website. You can find it there so that you can be a part of this community. We want to encourage you. We want to equip you. And by the way, we have actually expanded. We're expanding our ministry. We began to do this. And I'm going to pray for you guys. I know people say, well, I wish he'd pray. We're going to pray in just a second. We're just going to give you some information. I always like to do the information first and then pray, instead of pray and then do the information. That way we can give more time to prayer and not be interrupted by it. We're expanding our ministry. This End Time Headlines is our news and information arm of the ministry. But then I launched a ministry called Remnant Revival Ministries. You can find us on Facebook. We have a website, remnantrevival.org. Go there. That's where you're going to get equipping, edifying. Messages like this are prophetic in nature, so they're not going to be on there. They're going to be over here on End Time Headlines because they're more of eschatology. But over on Remnant Revival, we're going to have some messages. This is going to stir you up in the Holy Ghost. It's going to help you keep that oil in your lamp, keep that wick trimmed. It's going to keep you the fire burning. It's going to keep the oil flowing. And our whole mission statement is to awaken the slumbered bride. So it's our evangelical arm, our equipping arm of the ministry. That's Remnant Revival Ministries. And then End Time Headlines is our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Again, they're both one and the same, but just two different administrations. So we want to give you the opportunity, guys, if you don't have our app, get the official app at ETH or at the Android store, Google Play, or you can get it at the iTunes store with Apple. Again, if you have an app or an Android, you can get this app. It's free. You can download it. There's no cost. Get that, please, so you can follow along with us. Get the push notifications. Everything there, the podcast will be at the below. The YouTube videos will be below. All that's going to be there, and it'll be a great blessing to you as well. We want to give you the opportunity to do that. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing for you, edification, encouragement, information, whatever the case would be, then we want you to pray about whatever the Lord puts on your heart to sow back into this ministry. Again, we don't manipulate people. We don't demand people to give X amount of dollars. I've never done that. I never will. All I do is I'm confident to believe that as our ministry blesses you, that Paul says, give out a generous heart. And I believe that people will do what the Lord puts upon their heart. So if you'd like to do that, you can give electronically by going to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And you're going to see places to give. If you're on the app, go all the way to the bottom, to the right. There's a place that says donate. Click on there, and you'll be able to sow into this ministry. If you'd like to become a monthly partner, which is a monthly donation, you can set it up, and it'll automatically generate a certain amount every month. It'll come out of your account, and you can partner with us. If you wish to do that, you can do that as well. Also, if you wish to give by check or money order, you can do that at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And again, that goes for Remnant Revival at ETH. We're just going to put them one in the same because it confuses people when we have different separate checks to different. So again, same ministry, two different functions. So we don't want to confuse anybody. So anyway, guys, we love you guys. Listen, let's pray for you real quick. Let's pray for every individual here that's watching and listening by the broadcast. Then we're going to close. So we'll be back on, Lord willing, we'll be back on Friday, I plan on doing an equipping message and not so much a prophetic message. So until we see you then, Father, I just pray for those that are watching today and listening today. Lord, if there's anybody that's watching today or listening that is lost and they're away from you, I'm asking right now that you, Holy Spirit, would draw them into your presence, draw them into repentance. And Lord, I pray that they come to the acceptance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Lord, you would come and live on the inside of them and lead them and guide them and direct them all the days of their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would lead them to the church that they need to be plugged into and to be a part of in their community. And Lord, again, if they don't have a local church, Lord, I'm honored to help them, bless them, and encourage them and equip them any way that we can, that you've given us messages and blessed us to be able to do that. And I pray that we can be a help to them any way we can. Lord, bless these, protect these, keep these, and they're coming in, they're going out. Lord, I'm asking and declaring and believing for breakthrough for their lives, for their marriages, for their health, for their families, and for their finances in every area of their lives. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus, all God's people said, amen and amen. All right, guys, God bless you. We'll see you on Friday.